Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You are listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast, where food and sports clash at the goal line. Here are your hosts, Spencer and Michael.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of the 23 Personnel Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer, and I'm here to give you guys a post-game instant reaction podcast. Tonight, it will just be me. Michael is getting ready to go on the road, take his family out of town for Thanksgiving. Before we get into the instant reaction, I want to let you know that as the 23 Personnel Podcast is a part of the Armchair Media Network, that support for Armchair comes from Manscaped, who's number one in men's below-the-belt grooming. Manscaped offers precision engineer tools for your family jewels. That's why Manscaped has redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 2.0 has proprietary skin-safe technology, so the trimmer won't nick or snag. Manscaping accidents are finally a thing of the past. Manscaped also has a crop preserver, an anti-chafing deodorant, and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? Get 20% off plus free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Always use the right tools for the job. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. It's 20% off with free shipping at Manscaped and use promo code armchair. Now, it really wouldn't be a post-game instant reaction podcast if I didn't complain on some level about officiating. And let me start with a disclaimer saying that while the officiating tonight was bad, it wasn't in a sense bad enough where it cost you the game. There wasn't one particular play or call you can look at and say, Reggie and his crew cost us the game here. However, there were so many questionable calls that really, I think, as a whole, affected the outcome of the game. I'd start with the block in the back on the Kansas State kick return that went for a touchdown. There was a official right in front of it, didn't end up calling it. I don't know how you missed that. There were several calls, block in the back or holding, called against Texas Tech. There was at least one on a punt where Texas Tech didn't receive the kick. They didn't field the punt. They let it roll, and they got called for a block in the back. I mean, I don't know what kind of evidence this guy's looking for to call that, but it seemed fairly blatant to me. Plenty of time after that for Texas Tech to overcome. However, there was a drive there that was extended with back-to-back defensive pass interference calls. The first one, I mean, to my eye, it looked like offensive pass interference. There was a pick play run where one receiver made contact with a defender downfield with a ball being thrown past the line of scrimmage. And Texas Tech ends up getting called for defensive pass interference. I mean, maybe that one's, you know, questionable, like could have been called, but there was a play, the very next one where it was just blatantly, it was bad. It was not pass interference. Kansas State is able to extend that drive. Then I would point to another catch a catch for Kansas State, where they ruled that, safety Thomas Leggett forced the receiver out of bounds, but the receiver reestablished himself inbounds and then caught the ball. I had several problems with that call. One, it looked like the receiver went out on his own. There wasn't any kind of forceful contact from Leggett to push him out of bounds. Questionable whether or not the receiver actually reestablished himself. To me, it looked like he was even touching out of bounds when he caught the ball, that he never came back in, and when he touched the ball, it would have been incomplete anyways. They went to review, held that one up. Same side of the field, a little bit later in the game, Keyshawn Carter has a touchdown, potential touchdown overturned. It's called a touchdown on the field. There are a couple of referees that get together, overturn it, says incomplete, and then it goes to review. And at that point, there wasn't enough video evidence to overturn it back to a touchdown. Biggest problem, I think, is that Keyshawn Carter had possession of the ball, made what I would consider a football move when he spinned 180 degrees, broke the plane of the goal line with the ball, and then as he hit the ground, lost control of the ball. To me, as you make a football move and cross the goal line, that's a touchdown. What happens after that is irrelevant. I think what they were trying to say is that he didn't possess the ball at any length of time, and ultimately lost control of it when he hit the ground. I would say that the official that was standing right on top of it and called it a touchdown had it right. The review didn't have a good enough video angle to overturn that. And then I want to point to one more play, and it's on that third down conversion where Skylar Thompson, it's a third and long, just a couple minutes left in the game. He's able to scramble and pick up the first down. Adrian Fry was in position, but he gets held up by the end of the line of scrimmage. Should have been called a hold there. It's not called. Kansas State converts that and then proceeds to run out the rest of the clock to secure the victory. Texas Tech does fall 30-27 at home on senior night versus Kansas State. Falls at 4-7, 2-6 in Big 12 play. Ultimately, you lose a shot at a bowl game this year. And it really sets the Matt Wells era kind of on a sour note, with going no better than 5-7 with a game coming up this weekend in Austin to take on the Longhorns. Jet Duffy in the post game said that while they will not be playing for a bowl game anymore, that this game against Texas can be considered their bowl game. They still have one more game to get up for, one more game to prepare and fight. Unfortunately, it will just be game number 12 of the season and not number 13. So, speaking of Duffy, I want to talk about his night tonight. Not terribly bad. I don't think this is a game where you look at Duffy and say that he cost you the game. I think he kept you in the game, especially when you look at the first half when you only put up 3 points and you hold Kansas State to 6 points. But he finishes the night 28-49 for 334 yards, 2 touchdowns, 2 sacks, 2 interceptions. Those 2 interceptions, ultimately, he...
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Could have thrown more than two. There were several that were in the hands of the defenders or that were tipped that could have been hauled down to add to the interception total. I would consider him probably a little bit lucky to only have the two interceptions on the night, but where I think he really excelled tonight was when he was extending the play, was creating a little bit more time for his receivers to get open downfield. He had another probably two runs, very similar to last week against TCU, where he just escapes the pocket. The pressure was getting to him. The pocket's collapsing. He somehow gets out of it and runs downfield. He finished the night 9 carries for 71 yards. And with those two sacks, he probably he had a net of 57 yards, averaged more than 6 yards per carry. So Jet Duffy, I think, really helped extend the play and keep the plays alive as he was looking downfield. His biggest target on the night had been R.J. Turner. 7 catches, 141 yards, 1 touchdown, long of 58, which are there. Late in the fourth quarter, on that fourth down, he was able to pull out 58 yards for a touchdown. And then he gets a horse collar tackle. Another receiver with 7 catches, Sir Roderick Thompson. He only had 28 yards with a long of 10, meaning he had 6 catches for 18 yards. A lot of his targets were at or behind the line of scrimmage, so Sir Roderick Thompson was not able to do just a whole lot on the receiving end, but as a pure running back, he carried the ball 21 times for 86 yards, averaged 4 yards a carry for a touchdown. That touchdown was a play where he absorbed some contact probably on the 2 or 3 yard line, spun out of it, and got into the end zone. It's a real impressive play to get Thompson in the end zone there. And then the only other rusher on the night was Jalen Hutchings on a 4th down fake punt run, which we'll talk about in a little bit. One of the problems that I think that kind of led to Duffy struggling with his completion and throwing it at the defense is it didn't look like he was progressing through his reads very well. He would lock onto a receiver, the defense would pick up on that, and they would stack up in his throwing lanes. He was staring down receivers. And like I said earlier, probably a little lucky to only have the 2 interceptions. Finishes of the night, like I said, 2 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. And then offense as a whole was -1, and the turnover margin. On the defensive side, you did get the 1 interception to help offset that. But I think before we get into looking at the defense, I want to remind you guys that as a football fan, you already know that just as sure as the seasons change, Tom Brady will keep the Patriots in the game every weekend. Our favorite Gridiron Warriors put their skills to the test. So why aren't you doing the same? We're about halfway through the NFL season, so now is the time to get off the sidelines and get in the game with MyBookie. MyBookie is a premier place to bet on all your favorite pro and college football action every weekend. They always have the most up-to-date lines and the most prop bets of any sports book on the planet. So if you're going to bet this season, do the smart thing and bet with the best at MyBookie. Best part is if you join right now, MyBookie will double your first deposit. That's right. If you put in $1,000, they will give you $1,000. That's double your initial deposit you can use on all your favorite picks. Use promo code CHAIR to activate the offer. It's promo code CHAIR to double your cash. Visit mybookie.ag today. You play, you win, you get paid. So, looking at the defense, I think the biggest thing was going into the game, you wanted to keep Kansas State from converting on third downs. That's where they were really good, strongest on offense, I think, besides running the ball. Tonight, you held them to 4 of 13 on third downs, well below their season average, a little bit below your season average in terms of defensive third down conversions. You did a really good job on stopping them there. And then on the ground, you held them to 126 yards on 37 carries. A good portion of those Well, I would say about 40 or 50 of those rushing yards came in the last couple of drives when Kansas State was trying to run out the clock. I remember I tweeted at one point in the game, you had 140 rushing yards to their 73, where you were basically doubling them up on yards per rush. You were doing a good job forcing Skylar Thompson to throw the ball. He ended up 28 attempts for the night. Last week against West Virginia, he had 29, which was a career high for him. You forced him to throw 28 times, 50% completion with 14, threw one interception, two touchdowns. You had some pressure on him a little bit throughout the game, but it always seems like it was a step late. Your blitzes just weren't really timed very well, or they were just one, like I said, one step too late. You only got one sack on him. He distributed the ball pretty well. Chabasson Taylor had three catches for 74 yards. Wykeen Gill, two catches for 70. Dalton Schoen, two catches for 27. Jordan Brown, two catches for 24. You know, the leading receiver only had three catches on the night. He was able to find a different receiver throughout the night when he was looking for him. Besides the third down defense, the other thing we were talking about a little bit earlier was the turnover margin. You did have the one interception by Adrian Fry, which was big to help give you an opportunity there late in the game. I think it was Kansas State's second to last possession where they could have really converted a third down there and just kept the clock moving. Adrian Fry was able to intercept the ball on the sideline, and I believe that's the possession that RJ Turner then scored on. So it helped you stay in it. Minus one on the turnover margin of the day. You're not going to win a lot of games with that. You're not going to win a lot of games when your opponent scores a non-offensive touchdown. So we mentioned this a little bit earlier. Kansas State was able to return a kickoff for a touchdown. It may have helped your offense, Texas Tech offense, a little bit because it had the Kansas State defense on the field for an extended period of time. Texas Tech was able to score in back-to-back drives while the Wildcat defense really had no rest because of the punt return, the kickoff return. And then the other question that, I mean, just really needs to be answered, and I don't really even know where to look at it, but Matt Wells was still kind of defending it in the post-game press conference, but going for it on fourth down. And it's not so much that he was going for it, but that he was doing it. He ran two fake punts tonight. The first one was a fourth and four, and I remember when he sent out the punt team, the stadium just started booing. The play ended up being a direct snap to Jalen Hutchings, a defensive tackle who is in that front line to kind of have that last little bit of blocking for the punter. Got it. Was able to get 3 yards. Could have gotten a first down had the spot been just a couple of inches further. Was not able to convert on that one. And then later in the game, Austin McNamara pulls up and throws a pass down the right sideline to Eric Ezukanma for 38 yards. Converts that first down, but then Jet Duffy throws his second interception of the night on the very next play into the end zone. Just some more questionable fourth down calls. Really not sure, you know, what determines when Matt Wells goes for it, when he punts, what things he's considering. But special teams tonight was something that left quite a bit to be desired. So before we wrap it up tonight, I want to get to a couple of your thoughts before we get ready for next week's preview episode for Texas. Jerry Benavides says, will we ever catch a break? One of the main turning points of this game. And it was in response to the Keyshawn Carter touchdown that got overturned. It seems like you've had a lot of these close calls go against you. You know, you had the obviously the butt fumble, illegal snap against Baylor go against you, and their final drive and regulation they had a pass that was called incomplete to Devin Mims, and then it was overturned on the field as a catch, and then it went to review, very similar to Keyshawn Carter, where they didn't have enough visual video evidence to overturn the final call of a catch, so it stood. You've had just several of those that just gone your way, and you would think with how similar it was to Chris Beard in his first year, losing these close games, you'd hope that you're able to kind of turn this around and turn those close losses into close wins. But unfortunately, like I said, tonight you fall 30-27 to Kansas State. It is your fourth conference loss by three or fewer points on the season. Matt Wells, his record in one score games takes another hit. While he wasn't really all that great at home in one score games, he was a lot better at home than he was on the road. But I think he's now 5-4, or maybe he's 5-5 now over his career, one score games at home. So Paxton, at Paxton CD, when he replied to when I said add another one score loss to Matt Wells' resume, he says it's not because his team's fight, it's because he consistently gets out coached. I would point to some of the late game decisions and when and if he goes 4th and 4th down. It just never seems like there's a plan there, and it's inconsistent at best. Seth Swearingen said, the football season has taken a toll on me. That's all I can say. Hashtag trust the process. It worked for Baylor, right? I mean, they went from a 1-11 season 3 years ago to a team that made a bowl game, and now they're, after beating Texas today, they are 10-1. They secured a spot in the Big 12 conference championship game. If this is the path you're going to take, you'd hope that it pays off getting to the Big 12 championship game here pretty soon. Barry Odom says complete garbage. He was replying to another media member's tweet that said, just like Baylor Tech is catching the bad end of call after call. The guy standing right there called it a catch. This is the Keyshawn Carter catch. Ball came out when he hit the ground. Replay is inconclusive, and the decision to change call on the field is the only reason it's not a touchdown. Barry Odom also replied to me when I tweeted out a picture of the east side of the stadium. From my vantage point in the press box, I couldn't see the west side. The east side was pretty light. Granted, it is going into a holiday weekend. At kickoff, it was, I wouldn't even say it was half full on the east side. Anyways, Barry says, start winning, it's cured. Yeah, you would hope so. We did hear a lot of people say it was because of all the 11 a.m. games. Tonight you had a 6 o'clock kick and it didn't really help your attendance. Again, maybe it was a combination of, you know, you're 4-6 on the season and you're going into a holiday week. But didn't seem to get any better with the, 6 o'clock kick. Jody at Mad Ombre said nothing matters except hashtag wreck Texas. Yeah. You got one more game in the season. This is the last one to make it count for your seniors for this class. You've got to focus all your attention on the game on Friday. So quick turnaround and it's on the road. Justin Jordan was replying to, again, the attendance. He said, oh no, this is really bad. Steve_O was responding to something I said about there's a tech promotion tonight that said if 10,000 students showed up, they would select one student to win free tuition for the spring. If they had 12,000 students, they'd select two students. Anyways, Steve-O said participation trophies for everyone. They should announce their real attendance, then give them the cold hard facts. Don't meet goals, then there's no reward. Free passes are over. All right, so that'll do it for us on the Instant Reaction post-game podcast for 23 Personnel. We will be back on early next week to preview the Texas Longhorns. Until then, reckon.
Thank you for listening to the 23 Personnel Podcast and sharing our fandom for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You can connect with us on Twitter @23Personnel, Spencer @PuntSuck, and Michael at Michael_LBK. And find even more great content over on stakingtheplains.com. Help us out by rating the show and leaving a review on iTunes and subscribe on whatever channel you listen to podcasts. Remember to tell your friends about the show. The guys will be back next week with another episode. And until then, guns up and let the tortillas fly.